Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessed opportunity you've given us once again to be able to return to your word and do some studying. Help us now as we study to understand it and apply it in the right way. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study made of Z in the word encouragement, if you will turn to 1 John chapter 3, we see some very encouraging words here about our future, those of us that have trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. As it reads here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Sons or daughters, of course. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And that is very encouraging. To know that we are going to be like Jesus Christ, the one that has the power and authority to choose however he wants to be, and then is going to allow us to be like him. That is awesome. There is, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." It's our goal to do the best we can to be as much like him as possible now in this realm, in this opportunity he's given us, so that we can build more and more blessings and rewards to enjoy now and for eternity. And it is so awesome that he has addressed us as his family members, and that he's going to allow us to be like him. Let's read verse 2 again. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And that's awesome. Some have speculated that we'll be like he was when he appeared to them in the upper room, but we don't know that for sure. But we know right here from his word that when we see him, he's going to allow us to be like him. And however he chooses to be for eternity is going to be way more than what we could possibly imagine and come up with of our own on how wonderful that would be. So be encouraged and be comforted to know that he is going to allow us to be like him. All right, now if you will turn on over to 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, where it reads, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." See, if you want your prayers answered, if you want the things that you need to be able to do the task he has set for you to do in this world, in this realm, because that's why you're alive, that's why you're still here. You got an opportunity to do something. You know, he's going to give you what you need, but you got to start with that love and share that love. He tells us the two great commandments, to love God with all of our existence and to love others as yourself. So you have that love, you share that love, and that is the evidence that you are connected with God. And when you have that proper balance, you know it, and it's in your heart. And then verse 22 kicks in, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." That's the key, to do the will of God. And by doing the will of the Lord, then he gives you what you need. Verse 23, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Because he gives us the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost, which comforts us, which encourages us, which gives us anything and everything that we need to be able to do the task that he has set before us to do. And he keeps emphasizing those commandments, as he emphasized those commandments when he was teaching back in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All comes together with those two. You do those two, you don't have to worry about all the rest of them because it's all going to fall right into place. And that's what he's talking about, that love. Sharing that love that he gives us. And when we understand that it is sharing his love that he gives to us, then that makes it easier on us because it isn't coming only from our love. We merely need to share the love that God has given us. And then we'll have enough to go around. All right, now look at chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We got to acknowledge and know, and clearly we do, we see it all over, that there are a lot of antichrists out there. There are a lot of false teachings out there. There's a lot of evil spirits that are at work. And when we do what the Lord wants us to do, then we have that communion with the Holy Ghost, and he gives us the understanding and wisdom to be able to do what he's telling us right here. Try those spirits, to test those spirits, to see, do these match up to what the Holy Ghost is telling us? Do these match up to the Word of God? Do these match up with Jesus Christ? Let's read that again. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. It's here, it's active, because this was written some 2,000 years ago, and it is still going on today, and more so today. The closer we get to the last days, the more and more you'll see this Antichrist movement rising up, which we clearly see all over the place today. As it continues, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's where we get our encouragement of knowing when we truly trust in Jesus Christ and he comes into us in the form of the Holy Ghost, he can give us the wisdom to overcome the temptations to fall victim to these evil spirits. And to know that when you have Jesus Christ in you, he is greater and more powerful than anything else out there. Read that again in verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, who? The Antichrist spirits. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. This is talking about all those worldly folks out there that are following Satan. And that truly is on the increase around the world today. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. A very key point to acknowledge there. The world out there doesn't want to hear true preaching. They want to hear the fluff and stuff. They want to hear it melted down, simplified, sugar-coated message. They don't want to hear about judgment. They don't want to hear about condemnation. They don't want to hear about eternity in the lake of fire. They don't want to hear about fire and brimstone preaching. No, they don't want to hear none of that. They just want to hear the fluff and stuff, the lift me up, some make me feel better so I can go back to my sinful life and keep doing what I'm doing kind of preaching. It's all they want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth of the Word of God. That's why they come out with all these newer translations that tones it all down to make it so much more easy to tolerate what they say, at least. All right, verse 6 again. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Those out there that don't want to hear the Word of God, those out there that try to butcher the Word of God, try to take this out, take that out, try to say, oh, you can't trust these writings, you can't trust those writings, oh, those are just fables just to try to control us, oh, that's not the true history, and just over and over and over, they try to say there's contradictions in the Word of God. Well, there are no contradictions in the Word of God. It's true from the front to the back. He's preserved it for us. Study it for yourself. Pray about it. Listen to the Holy Ghost. He'll let you know. You can stand on it. Truthfully, stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him only. Verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Keeps going back to that key point about love. Loving God and then loving others. That's the evidence of a true Christian. Verse 8, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That love that He displayed is beyond our comprehension. We could only desire to have such love poured upon us, because we could never earn it. It was all given to us by grace. And He did that because He loved us first. Not because we were so great, because we were so righteous, because we were so loving and caring that then He loved us. No, He loved us first. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God the Father sent Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, down here to take on flesh, to live amongst us, and to die on that cross, to take on all the sins of all mankind. Not only the righteous people, but the unrighteous people. Not only those that come to Him, but those that still reject Him all the way to the lake of fire. He paid even those, paid for even those sins. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. There's not a whole lot to ask for us to merely have a sincere concern for others. And that's what he's talking about here. Do you have a sincere concern for the eternal soul of other people out there? Don't have the attitude of, well, I got mine, you get yours, and I don't care about you. No, don't have that. Have the desire to share what the Lord has given you, and that is His love. Verse 12, No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Notice, His love perfected in us. And that's one of the key points we want to bring out here, is that it's the love of God that we turn around and share to others out there in the world. Because there's no way to compare it to how much love that He could give us. We could never come up with that. So take what He has given you and then turn around and share it with others. Verse 13, Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. See, that's one of the key things to know. Truly born again Christian, they are indwelt with the Holy Ghost. and it is evident. They bear the fruit, and one of those fruits is that love. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. He keeps telling us over and over and over, the evidence of a truly born-again Christian is that love that they want to share with others. So let's do that. He gave us those two great commandments. Let's fulfill that. Let's honor that. Let's share that love. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We want to be able to go to judgment day boldly, stepping up for our moment of judgment, not cowering in fear and worrying. The only way to be looking forward to judgment is to be perfect, as he says there. And what is perfection? Perfection is to be fully furnished with what you need. When you're fully furnished, that means you have received the things that you need to be able to do the task he has set for us to do. What's that task? To love him with all our very existence and to love others as ourselves. Share the love that he gives you. It's so simple that people don't comprehend it and they don't do it because it's so simple they think it's got to be more complicated than that for it to be true. As it continues, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. So, see, if you have that perfect love in you and have shared that perfect love, when it comes time for you to leave this world, you're not going to be cowering in fear. You're not going to be shaking in your boots when it's time for you to die. Whether it's at your moment of an execution, when somebody's fixing to cut your head off, or when it's your moment you're laying there in the hospital and you're conscious and you're hooked up to machines and you know they're fixing to unhook you from the machines and you only got a few moments of breath before you're gone, are you fearful or are you boldly, anxiously awaiting judgment? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. This is not talking about just biological brothers and sisters. This is talking about spiritual brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters in Christ, because this was all addressed right from the very beginning there to the Christians. Christians need to have love one for another. Not all this division and strife and backstabbing and chaos that you see in way too many churches. That does not display love. That is a terrible testimony to the world. But share the love. He loved us first. Share his love with the world. All right, now turn to 1 John chapter 5 in verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is very encouraging there, because it's telling us that are truly born again Christians that we have life. And this life here is connection with God, and it is everlasting. And everlasting love, everlasting life, eternal life, as he says here. Back up in verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So you truly trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you'll have that eternal life. You'll have that eternal connection with God forever. And that is awesome. read 11 again, where it says, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." See, that's the comfort that we have when we study the Word of God. When we study His Word, and when we listen to the Holy Ghost, we get the assurance of our salvation. And as we study this, and then as we apply this, we become more and more mature and more confident in our relationship with God. And it becomes clearer and clearer to us the will of God for our lives. Let's read these verses again. Verse 11. "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Right there is some very encouraging words. That when we truly have the kind of relationship that we're supposed to have with God, he's always hearing our prayers. Verse 15, "And if we know that he heareth whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." So that's the key there. Always pray. That's praying without ceasing. All the time, constant communication with the Lord. And when you have that constant communication with the Lord, you are building up more and more of a connection and a realization of the will of God in your lives. And then your prayer life becomes honed, becomes focused, becomes within the will of God. Because that's one of the keys, to pray within the will of God. And then he's going to give you what you're praying for. He's always hearing it, but there's sometimes we pray for things that we shouldn't have. And he don't always give us those things that we shouldn't have. Sometimes he does give them to us to teach us. It's like you pray for something that you really shouldn't have enough, and he's going to say, "Okay, I'll give it to you." And then you find out, "Ooh, that wasn't so good that I got that." And then you learn from that. Like, okay, I need to make sure that all my prayers are for things that are within the will of the Father, not just my own will. Now get yourself out of the way. Stay focused on Jesus Christ. Pray that you stay in his will. Pray for things that are within his will. And he'll give them to you so you can use them to share with others the message that he wants you to share. Because we've all been given that great commission to go out and preach, teach the gospel to all mankind. And we know that if we do that, then we're going to build up a better and better relationship with him, because he gave us that great commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And that is so awesome, to know that he has given us that opportunity to be able to do a work, and he gives us exactly what we need to be perfectly furnished with everything that we need as far as the tools and the substances that we need to do the task that he wants us to do, the abilities, the skills. And we merely need to share it. Share it with others. Give it to others. And then he'll multiply it. And that way you've got more to share. And he'll multiply that. And we'll be able to build up so much that we can't even comprehend it. And it's amazing. All this is based on grace. the grace that He has shown to us. And that is that unmerited favor, that love for us, even when we were a bunch of filthy sinners and scoundrels. To love us so much, to come down here and take on the sins of all mankind. And that is an indescribable and uncomprehendable love that none of us can truly relate to. But we can accept that love, receive that love, and then turn around and share that love with others. And know that there's a lot of false teachers. There are a lot of Antichrist folks out there. But he clearly tells us about that, that if they don't proclaim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they are Antichrist, that they are against the Lord. And that's the key factor. To recognize them, like he said back here in 1 John chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Clearly in the world and clearly on the increase. So that's the test for anything that you're going to get involved in. Is the center of it based upon the foundation of Jesus Christ or not? If Jesus Christ is not in it, it's Antichrist. Stay out of it. Simple as that. That's the test we all apply every single day of our lives. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for your word. It's amazing. No matter what's going on in our lives, we can always turn to your word to find those words of encouragement. Thank you oh so much for those today as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.